From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Supreme Court nominee John Roberts is in for some tough grilling when Congress reconvenes next month. The Senate Judiciary Committee takes up his nomination September 6th, not long before Roberts was making news as President Bush's choice for the vacant seat on the nation's high court. A black woman was making history on Georgia's high court. Leah Ward Sears has recently become the first black woman to preside as Chief Justice in any of the 50 states. Justice Sears told me her passion for the law developed early.
When I was growing up, so many of the important changes for African Americans were being made in the United States Supreme Court and were being made by lawyers. I followed the court very intensely and wanted to do that for my life. I've always been very interested in the struggle for human rights, not just here but abroad. And I wanted to be an inside player in that struggle. I wanted to make the laws reflect our ideals and ideas in this democracy that is America.
What else I found interesting, and I truly find this interesting as a father of an 11-year-old daughter, is often we sit with our children and put book reports together. And I understand it was one of the book reports you did as a child about Constance Baker Motley. For those who don't know, she was the first black woman to sit as a U.S. District Court judge that greatly influenced you as well.
That's correct. She had originally worked alongside Thurgood Marshall at the NAA Legal Defense Fund, and then she became a federal district court judge. And as I studied her when I was 10 or 11, I could see that this was the kind of work that I wanted to do. And not only that, I had the talent and the disposition to be the temperament to be that kind of professional. And I went after it. I had very supportive parents that made the way for me, even at a time when there were very few women, or no women really, maybe two or three women, and very few, fewer than that, African-American women heading in this direction. So there were very few people to look up to. You just had to have faith.
I'm curious about your temperament and your disposition as a child. I mean, here is a girl who at 6 was memorizing cases. You were an Army brat. At 8, you had ordered law brochures from law schools. And obviously, as an Army brat, you moved around a lot. What kind of childhood was it for you?
It was a very interesting and dynamic childhood. I think having grown up, I was born in Heidelberg, Germany, to a father who was an Army officer, Thomas E. Sears, and a mother who was a teacher. She taught English and reading. So education was very, very important in my family. I had a brother who was older than I am by 18 months and a brother younger than I am by another 18 months. So the three of us were really pressured to do well. Our job was to go to school and do well, and to make the family proud. We had an intact family in the old traditional sense, where the father was very much in charge, very much in charge. But it worked. You know, we did what he said, and it worked out very well.
Now, you talk about that, and interestingly enough, one of the things that is most reported about you is your want and understanding to make sure that while the government should not be in your bedroom, there should be from society a want and a need to understand the importance and protect the importance of the nuclear family.
I do talk about that. My family was not perfect. And in fact, I'm married. I don't have a perfect family right now. I don't think there is such a definition of a perfect family. But I do think that our marriages are in crisis, our families are in crisis. And I think the African American family is at one of the worst stages it's been at in a very long time in this country. Fatherlessness is rampant. My mother was extremely important to me, but my father having a different role was no less important to me and my success and the success of my brothers. And I want to see us not give up on having fathers in our families, because I think fathers are very important. I'd like to see marriage count again. among African Americans, and not just in the general, the society in general. I think people need to commit to one another before they commit to bringing children into the world, because that's the optimum arrangement for children. Not to take anything at all away from women who have to rear their children by themselves. I am divorced. I've been divorced, remarried, and I was a single mother for a while, so I know how difficult that is. I'm not trying to cast shame on anybody, but I do think we need to have a goal of getting our marriages together and trying to keep them together.
There is often a push and pull for African Americans in this country, and it illustrated itself, I think, best on the day you were sworn in, what should have been, and I'm sure was, a grand day for you, I think was tempered a bit by, and forgive me for putting words in your mouth, you'll certainly be able to address this, but tempered by the fact that you over the years have befriended Justice Clarence Thomas and asked him to be in attendance for your swearing in, and in fact, he was there. That drew the ire of some civil rights activists in Georgia, many of whom I'm sure are friends of yours and a great friend to me for a long time. Joseph Lowery decided, while to acknowledge his want for you to have a successful tenure and how proud he was of you, he decided because of Justice Thomas's attendance, he would not attend. Talk to me about, A, how you dealt with that and your feeling about it.
I first of all want to say that I love Joseph Lowery, and I have befriended, and it's been a source of great joy in my life. Many, many members of the older civil rights establishment, so many of whom were very instrumental in making sure that I managed to stay in office through the years, because I've had a number of critics. It hasn't been easy staying in office. I've always had opposition every time that I've run, so I owe them a lot. But I am a judge, and I've been a judge since I was 27 years old. I turned 50 on June 13th, so it's been about 23 years now. And as a judge, I have really been able to always separate myself personally. You know, I can not like the way somebody thinks about something, but nonetheless very much like the person. For example, I sit on a bench that has six other judges, including myself. There are some justices on our court I disagree with mightily, forcefully, vehemently, but we go to lunch together and we sit and have coffee together. And that's just what judges and justices do all the time. And with respect to Clarence Thomas, he is from Savannah, or Pinpoint, right outside Savannah. I am from Savannah. We're both African Americans. We both sit on the same, you know, similar courts. I'm on the high court, have been for years, in Georgia, where he's from, and he's on the U.S. Supreme Court. So we have become friends over the years. And quite frankly, I don't agree with some of his rulings. He doesn't agree with some of my rulings. He is a friend, and I was really pleased that he would come and stand with me on such a historic day. We need to, in this country, begin again to raise civil discourse to another level. I mean, we shout and scream and yell and get very little accomplished, but you can disagree very much with the next guy and still be friends and acquaintances.
Talk to me about the vacancy being filled on the Supreme Court. Just your thoughts of the process now. While it's always been a political appointment, it seems to me, having watched the court for some time now, that we are in an age that there are so many outside entities and pressures that are now pouring millions of dollars to decide who in fact sits in these seats, that it has changed to a great degree the tone and tenor of how someone is nominated.
It is a process that has run amok on both sides. When you appoint a jurist to the highest court in the land, you're not electing a politician. You are appointing a judge. And I make this point time and time again that the judiciary is a separate, independent branch of government that is designed to be a check and a balance on both the executive and the legislative branch of government. And it seems to me that when you're looking for a jurist, and I know I'm not naive, I know that the appointing authorities try to appoint people like themselves and that who they think will most do it their way. And I don't see anything so wrong with that per se, but I think people have lost sight of the fact that I think most judges view the political process as requiring somebody who is unbiased and impartial and who has no preconceived notions, or if they do, that they are able to put their own personal preferences aside in order to follow the law. That is what judges are required to do. We are not to be lobbied. We are not legislators. You don't pick us, counting on us to vote a certain way on a certain issue. It seems to me what you ought to be looking for is a jurist that can do that job and do it well. And so I'm disappointed in the process because the judicial process itself is not political or is not supposed to be political. The outcomes often have political consequences. By that I mean that when you rule for somebody or against somebody, you may be ruling in favor of one political faction or against another political faction. But nonetheless, you want a jurist in office who is as unbiased and fair to both sides, because you always want the process to be as unbiased as possible. And with all of the protesting that's going around, it doesn't seem like anybody's really going for that.
Let me say that it's always intriguing, interesting, and fun for me to talk to someone who lives their dream, and it certainly seems that for you that has occurred, and we want to thank you so very much for being a part of our program and sharing with us your thoughts today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Leah Ward Sears is the first female Chief Justice of the Georgia State Supreme Court.